Pod.
Rugby pod.
Hello and welcome back to the Rugby Pod. I'm Andy Rowan. Big Jim and Goody are with me as usual. We'll be looking at how England, Wales and Ireland fared as they got their World Cup warm-up games underway, as well as the big comeback for Scotland against France in their World Cup squad announcement. We'll also be analysing the 33-man England squad that Steve Borthwick has picked for the tournament and speaking to Will Stewart in camp. So settle back, enjoy and make sure you're subscribed on Spotify.
This episode is brought to you by Atlassian. Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Trello help power global collaboration for all teams so they can accomplish everything that's impossible alone. Because individually we're great, but together we're so much better. Learn how to unleash the potential of your team at Atlassian.com. Atlassian.com. Atlassian. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to learn more. This episode is brought to you by Atlassian. Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Trello help power global collaboration for all teams so they can accomplish everything that's impossible alone. Because individually we're great, but together we're so much better. Learn how to unleash the potential of your team at Atlassian.com. Atlassian.com. Atlassian. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to learn more.
We're good. We're just tensing at the minute. Me and Goody in the studio. He's got biceps.
I've been working out, man.
Loving it. You like your arms. Would you say your arms are like your biggest asset?
My new hairline.
Your best asset.
My best asset. No, I've got a different best asset.
What would you say is your number one?
Visible.
As in just visibly, aesthetically.
My new hair. How good is my new hair?
What do you mean your new hair?
Well, it's about 5 years old now, but.
Yeah, that has blown many people's minds.
That has. But now, guns.
Is it the guy? I can tell. Look, he was tensing.
Look at that! It's bruised. See the bruise on it? Because I've just been working out so much.
You actually have got decent. I mean, they're all. I can't really say. My arms are shocking.
You've actually come in here in your gym gear?
No, I haven't.
He's coming in shorts.
This is a knitted polo and some chino tapered skinny fit shorts, mate.
Goody's only got one set. He's only got one set of gym gear. It's that horrible blue Adidas t-shirt.
I've got black ones
which
as well.
Must be stinking.
No, mate. It's
you only
best.
Ever wear the blue one. I've never seen anything else, but...
Have a look at every video on Instagram. There's black t-shirts,
look at all my videos.
Black vests. Anyway, talking about body, I'll never forget Ed Jackson, great bloke, yeah? Mm. I'm going to rewind the clock back to our Wasps days, 2014 it would have been. And we were chatting. We were all going to Vegas in the summer off season. We're in the off season now, kind of. And we're going to Vegas for Benny Jacobs' stag do. And we were chatting about it before, and there's like some of the boys ripped up to the hills. And Jacko, brilliant bloke, used to be an absolute animal, still is an animal, said to me, he said, "Goody, do you know what would be perfect for you?" He said, "If you just, when you're in the water, just keep it. The water just below the nipples, because your chest and your shoulder and your arms are pretty good. The rest of you." So I always think back to that, and he still reminds me of it now. So yeah, arms, my best asset, visible asset now is pipes, guns. As you can see them. Anyway, how are we?
Good. Well, on that, I am changing
doing 100,
my life.
100 press ups a day.
100 press ups, 100 sit ups, and 100 squats.
Okay. How are they going, James?
I'm struggling. And there are a few comments out there that, you know, you do repetitive exercise. And I do know that because I tried a bit of CrossFit and it just didn't work for me because, like, the burpees and getting up and down the press ups with the wrist and the shoulders. Shocking. But I've been doing it.
Yep.
I say doing it. The missus came in on Sunday morning. I'm effectively like pumping the floor because I'm doing my press-ups on my knees. She's like, "What the hell are you doing?" I was like, "I'm doing my 100 press-ups, sit-ups and squats." And she's like, "They're not press-ups. They're women's press-ups." She can say that.
She can say
Beck
that.
Beck said that. Yep. That's not me saying that. But she's right.
She likes her training as well, doesn't she?
She loves her training. Yeah. So like,
she owned you.
Yeah, she can abuse me. But I can't.
So you're on your knees. You're doing press-ups on your knees.
After about 20, 30. So the first day I was all right, I did about 60.
In one hit?
No, I'd do it in sets of 30, 30, 30,
well, that's
20.
No, that's 110.
No, 3, 6, 9. I just
oh,
do
your
10
math
more.
Teacher. She'll
I
be
just do 10 more at the end. You say 100, I just add on 10 more at the end.
I dominate you at press-ups.
You were always good at press-ups. All right, mate. I've had bloody 3 shoulder reconstructions.
I've had one.
And a broken sternum. Yeah. And I should have a plate in my clavicle, but I don't. These are the excuses. I've got to put on weight.
Yeah.
I'm going the opposite way. So I'm 114, 115, 116 kgs. 114 on a bad day, 116.
Where were you? What weight were you?
Against India?
No, middle. No, against India.
I was 135 kgs against India.
Oh, yeah.
135 kegs.
I'm thinking, where were you sort of late May, weight-wise?
Late May? What was late May?
Well, when we started the What Bike Challenge.
About the same.
So I was heavier than you then.
Yeah, you were heavier. Yeah. But that was the first time you were honest with that. That's the first time you've ever been honest and given you
publicly,
your true weight.
Publicly.
Very true. So I'm trying to get to about 120 kgs. So I am eating and eating and eating and
but
training.
You always eat a lot though. Like because your metabolism.
I mean.
You're always on the bog.
Yeah. I'm always on the bog.
I remember we used to go for, because we spend a bit of time together doing podcasts and all this stuff. We'd go for like some noodles. Do you remember? Walk to Work or whatever it's called.
Yeah.
And you'd polish one off, and I'd polish one off, and I'm done. He's like, do you want another one? I'm like, no, I've got the meat sweats now and the noodle sweats. But you can eat like a trooper.
I eat a lot of food. But as in, I've stopped eating because I've gone through this, I need to fast in the morning.
Gluten-free.
Yeah. I feel great fasting, but I need to put on weight. People are commenting on my weight.
You do look like a bag of bones.
Exactly.
Such a shift in the dynamic now. It's almost like Goody's talking down to you with your fitness.
I just
have
want to help
you seen
him.
My training
I just want to help him. I'm basically a fully fledged PT.
You're a life coach.
Yeah. I can be a life coach.
You're a health and fitness influencer.
Guru. Influenza, yeah. I can do it all.
Yeah. It's resurrected your TV career.
On that as well, I'm a big fan of Sam Warburton.
Yeah. Good guy, Sam.
Yeah.
Very good guy.
Obviously, one of the best in the business, but
knows his onions.
He knows, and he gives great insight, as in off the cuff, very good on detail. Yeah. Delivery's great, great voice. I do like Sam Warburton.
And me and Warbs are having a chat pre-match.
Training?
We compared protein bars, actually, to eat during the
no,
game.
No, you didn't.
I promise you we did.
Oh, my word.
I
wow.
promise you we did.
Sorry.
I used to bring,
okay. Go on. Yeah,
I used to bring a bag of sweets, but I'm like, Sam, you'd be proud of this. I bought me protein. And he goes, so have I. He pulled out a protein bar and a protein cookie, and I was salivating. But anyway, going back to Sam, so we chatted last year on our podcast. I did a game with Sam down in Exeter, and we were talking about Jack Morgan. And we were sat having some food before the game at BT Sport in the van, as you do. And we talked about Jack Morgan, and Sam Warburton said he'll be Wales' next captain. And then we were chatting about it before the game. I said, Sam, do you remember? He's like, mate, I remember that. It was hilarious because you said it on the podcast on Monday. So he's a big listener of the pod. And he goes, just goes to show that I know my onions, doesn't he?
He does.
So
that's the thing. Like, we are deep rooted into rugby.
Yeah.
That's what. And my point is, I'd love for us to get a shot together.
That's exactly what I was going to say. I'd love to do a game with you.
Do you not think it's weird? 8 years we've been doing this, and some of it we're taking the piss, but a lot of it we need to go into detail about the game. Like, we've mentioned Jack Morgan, we've mentioned Theo Dan, like, just to name two, that they're good players, because we have to know what we're doing, right?
Yeah.
We've never been approached to do one game together, even though we both played for Leicester, both played for Saracens. It's a call out. It ain't happening. I know it's not. I know it's not. Tier 2.
Alternate comms we'll do then, James.
Yeah, we'll do
that.
We'll do it the alternate way.
Or you'll be doing some analysis at the new live show that we've got to announce. It's
get in there.
London at Arch 33 on the 5th of September to kick off our Rugby World Cup party. Pretty exciting stuff. Myself, Jim, Goody, and Hoggy. Stuart Hogg going to be joining us.
Has he confirmed?
Yeah. He has confirmed.
Well, I never.
Yeah.
The teeth, the tan, the hair, the lot is coming.
The drama.
Yeah.
It's all happening.
Lovell Rugby will also be there showing off all the new Rugby World Cup kits and giving away some stash. And you can get your tickets on Eventbrite. Just search for the Rugby Pod. You can also join us this weekend at Twickenham or on the Infinity Cruise during the Rugby World Cup. Just check out our website for all the details.
Gosh, there's a lot happening.
There is.
There's a lot in the pipeline
going on,
which is great. It's a World Cup.
Going to be busy, aren't we? Can't wait for it.
Can't wait. I'm ready, like, as in fully loaded.
Who wasn't fully loaded? England.
No, we weren't. We had our third team out. And we were very, very poor.
Should I give my snapshot?
Yeah, you go, James.
Of it? Because I know you'll get deep into the weeds of abusing Steve Borthwick. I'm joking.
I got told I need to be more positive. Yes. I had to be positive after that.
It was a vent last week, but it's fine. And I thought we would have seen a spike in energy and aggression from England, as in they're all listening to the podcast in the lead up to that, but there wasn't. You're right. A couple of things from the game that I picked up. Wales. Let's start on them. A team I know where Jim says, now there's fuck, this is the time where they're not going to deliver. They were very good. Very physical. Great game plan. Defensively, very good. I thought they were hard done by at the scrum.
In the first half.
In the first half, I thought they were poorly done in the scrum. And Nick Berry had a tough time dealing with that. A lot of the calls were coming in from the touch. Anyway, this is me being negative.
Yeah.
Listen to me. I'm just saying Wales were actually better than the scoreline said, in my opinion. The gulf between the two teams was fairly worrying if you're an England fan, albeit they did have a lot of players missing, where Wales probably weren't far away from being fully loaded. Yeah. There'll be a few players coming in. But big fan of Sam Costello at 10 for Wales. Great that he's playing now. I remember doing the Leicester Tigers Academy. He was there with Jack Van Poortvliet, Freddie Stewart, George Martin, and everyone was talking about Sam Costello. Didn't really see him, went to the Scarlets. I know Sam was talking about him on comms, but apart from a few high balls, it looked like it was a tough day for everyone under the high ball. But he was good. I thought Sam Costello was very good. I thought both the centres were brilliant. Lewis Rees-Zammit, you referenced the size of the squads. Gareth Davies, the size and the conditioning, which you always expect with a Welsh team.
Gat said it.
Was there. They looked, not only did they look great on Instagram, from what we've seen.
True.
As in on the pitch, and I'll come on to Scotland as well, from a conditioning and visually aesthetic point of view, and they had to do a lot of defending, Wales did. I thought they looked brilliant.
Yeah.
And then we can talk about the back row, the balance of the back row with Jack Morgan.
How good.
He was brilliant. And again, we spoke about him, referenced him a few times.
Wainwright
was better, just in my opinion. And look, Wainwright for me, Aaron Wainwright, Gats has mentioned him before and he kind of went off the boil a little bit, both these lads.
Well, Pivak wasn't a fan of his.
He wasn't a fan of Wainwright. So maybe he might be a player that needs that kind of, mate, you're a good player. He's a test match animal. Yeah. I don't think he's a week in, week out player. And there's nothing wrong with that. Every time I've seen him play test match.
Animal.
Brilliant. He was a standout performer at the weekend.
Tash looks amazing.
Yeah, Tashes are back in now.
Yeah.
I'm slowly growing mine out. But he was brilliant. David Jenkins, 20 years old. He's 20.
Yeah.
So Chinza in the back row. Loves
the quiet Chinza.
He was quiet. Yeah, which is a good thing.
Jack Morgan and Wainwright were out of this world.
Brilliant.
So maybe he wasn't quiet, but they just overshadowed him because of how good they were.
Yeah. The two Ronda boys with the Polish twang. I think it's Polish twang.
Yes.
It is. Again, where are the next props that are coming through? And I mentioned the scrum.
I felt sorry for them.
I felt sorry for them as well because they were the wrong calls at scrum time that they were getting pinged for. I know Nick Berry balanced it out in the second half, but this is all about Wales. I was very impressed. Yeah. Gats knows what he's doing, right?
Yeah.
Again, so regardless of where Wales have been and what I think, or when you actually look at that game and physically how conditioned they look, this isn't me saying they're going to go and win the World Cup.
They're going to win it.
But
they're going to win it.
They have a bit of a 2011 feel to them, that squad.
Mm. I love the way, hold on, boys, it's one warm-up game.
But that's what we can base it on.
Oh, no, yeah.
That's all we're looking at.
Two things, though, on it. So you mentioned Gats and two things that Gats said. Firstly, so he's come over after the game with Lee Halfpenny and we're doing some interviews. And obviously it was Halfpenny's 100th cap. Massive shout out to him. Brought his kids over for the interview as well. Gats comes over, said hello to him, shake his hand. He's like, what's that fucking clown Hamilton on about?
No, he didn't.
I promise you. He's like, what's Jim always on about with shit? I'm like, oh, well, you know. At some point, he might be right, Gats. And maybe he was in the Six Nations.
Did he say that?
Yeah. We'll get him on. I think we're going to get Gats on the pod.
I'm a massive fan of Gats.
Yeah, we're going to get Gats on the pod.
I'm a big fan of Gats.
Maybe the next couple of weeks, I'm going to get Gats on. And then the other thing he said, and you mentioned it there, about their fitness. I said off air, I was like, Gats, half time. I thought Wales looked fucked just before half time because England had a lot of possession. And they were going ahead in the scrum, getting the scrum penalties. I said, mate, what did you say at half-time and do at half-time? Because you need a pay rise. Because what came out in the second half, whereas Borthers, the opposite happened. We were shocking in the second half. And we went backwards. And he goes, mate, how fit are we? We look fitter. We're way fitter than that England team. And that's all he was talking about, fitness.
That's exactly how it looked.
I said, Gats, you're talking to the right man about fitness.
Gats, do you know when I train, I actually train in black and not blue?
Here's my protein bar.
But with England, it was such an un-England performance. The line-out was off, the handling errors. And this is why Joe Thockenzinger is not in the squad. Under the high ball, their kicking game, whether or not it was chasing, whether or not it was gathering, was so far off that, yes, there'll be a reaction. Mm-hmm. And we saw with Scotland in their game against Italy, and where they had 13, 14 handling errors, and it was just such a shit game.
It was the same thing, isn't it? England had, I think, 20 or 21 unforced errors, handling errors, knock-ons, et cetera, which is unacceptable at that level.
Yeah, but that's
a hell of a lot.
That's a lot. Like, yeah. I think from Scotland, like, that was a lot as well. Then you see England at the weekend, but... There was that. The line-out didn't function under Borthwick, and everyone could be like, the hookers, it wasn't. I would, again, not that I analysed it with a fine tooth comb, but it was the drill. Everything was just slow, pedestrian, and the first game. And you know what?
I felt sorry for Theo, Dan, because people would just go, oh, New Hooker comes on, it's his fault.
Yeah, I know. Well, he dropped the ball, and there was a free kick on the first scrum that he came at. Nothing just seemed to work for them at all. And you know what? Like, the squad's out, and we're going to talk about that, but... There was one shot for a few players, and you don't want to go too hard on them. I'm not going to go too hard on them because you think of the amount of training and prep they've put in to try and make the World Cup squad. But Joe Thockenzinger had one shot.
Yeah.
And they tried to use him off the wing, like bringing him in short size, and he's just getting banged for fun. Yeah, there was a couple of big carries from him. But yeah, they just collectively, they were very poor, unfortunately.
And that's true. And people have said, look, what have they been doing for 8 weeks? Because if Gats says they're not fit enough, well, he didn't say they're not fit enough, but he said we completely monstered them on the fitness. So, and then we couldn't catch a pass. 23 turnovers it is, I'm reliably told.
23?
Yeah, 19 handling errors. But what I will say is that was, and I looked at the team last week when it came out, I was like, quite excited about that team. I looked at the Wales team and... The Wales team, as Jim said before, isn't far off. I don't think their best team. Yeah, there's a lot of players coming. You look at the back line. So Lewis Rees-Sammet, you know, you could probably swap in Liam Williams for Lee Halfpenny, maybe. Beggar starts at 10. But the outside backs, Lewis Rees-Sammet. Centres, you know, George North.
He would look good as well, which I thought he was past it.
Yeah, really obviously good. Not. Llewellyn.
Good on the scrum too.
Yeah, really good. Llewellyn, big boy.
Grady, when 12. He came on, was brilliant.
Mason Grady, big lad. There's some monsters coming out of Wales now, which is Warren Ball again. But England, from that starting team, Genju would probably be in our starting, our best 15. Ludlam played all the Six Nations games, so he'd probably
played,
be in our starting.
He played well.
And he played
England's
very
best
well. And then Freddie Stewart at fullback. The rest of them, without saying second, third choice, but that's where it was. And that's where... The selection was giving players opportunities. Joe Marchant, I personally think his performance, and I talked him up during comms, he was, you say Ludlam was our best player. Him and Joe Marchant and Ludlam were our best two players, I think. And I potentially think that Joe Marchant played himself onto the Eurostar or the plane. However they're getting there, if they might swim the channel, who knows. After that performance, he might make the extra fitness, we're going to get better. But, hey... He speaks the truth, Borthers, because it's part of the information gathering around training and everything that we're doing. But we want to build, so we want to get better week on week. Can't get any worse, Borthers. So he's definitely doing his job this week, and we're going to be better. And we'll have a lot of our frontliners. You think about the names that weren't in that squad. And yeah, it's doom and gloom because it was really underwhelming, the England performance. There was, you know, there didn't seem to be desire, didn't seem to be like that. Emotional attachment of this is a fucking test match against Wales. Give everything.
It was like a pre-season
game.
Did you say it is doom and gloom?
No, well, among, you look at social media and amongst the fans, there's a lot of doom and gloom out there around the performance because it was poor, very, very poor. But the reality is a lot of second and third choice players, some of those players, a fair few of them haven't made the plane or the Eurostar. And we're going to get better week on week, which we will this week. And then you look at the list of players that were sat in the stand or at home or on the golf course. And you've got Farrell, you've got Jamie George, you've got Itoji, you've got Billy Vunipoli, you've got Manu Tuilagi, Anthony Watson. You know, there's only really two or three players in that starting team at the weekend that would make our top 15. And credit, and this is not
sort of, how bad are England?
Credit to Wales. Like, I listened to the pod back last week and Jim was like, Wales are fucked. And I think genuinely, Jim, that they might use your voice and your words as inspiration. So keep bagging Wales, because every time you bag them, they prove you wrong.
What do you know?
Nothing.
Come join. When it comes journey, to mate, Wales, come join me.
I'm with you. I've said it about Wales, and they deliver every single time. Yeah. I always go back to the World Cup in 2019, where they went in on half a leg, and then nearly beat South Africa. So
in the semis,
nearly beat South Africa in the semi-finals, and they didn't. No one thought they had a chance at World Cups. They love a semi. We've mentioned that before. Warren Gatland knows what he's doing. But you are right. When you look at the players coming back, just think of what England can look like with Manu Tuilagi, who's fit, coming on short lines and getting them over the game line. But it's the handling errors was the big thing.
And that's the thing. The handling errors, and also the issue of the identity of how we're going to play. Because it looked like we were stuck between a rock and a hard place at the weekend. Sometimes we're playing to the edge. And I watched back, you watched all the games over the weekend. I'm watching Scotland, and you talked the week before how it was an average game against Italy. How exciting was the Scotland-France game? We'll come on to that. Just watching the width that they're putting on, the French young kids, the handling, the width that they're
putting
on.
They knew where
they
were going.
Yeah.
So you're right, as in both
and England
Scotland,
lost.
Exactly. Well, even George Martin, who I'm a massive fan of, he's going around the corner off nine and he's kind of looking confused in what side he's going to go. Like defensively, there was a few times the players were kind of getting mixed up. And
So it's an identity. And yes, it will improve hugely with a whole bunch of new personnel this weekend, who are, without being too harsh, better players. But also, both, as you've got to find an identity of how we're going to attack. And the worrying thing for England, I don't want to go too harsh, but the fundamentals of Steve Borthwick's coaching and how he coaches and sets up a team. One, line out was poor. Two, scrum, set piece, poor. Three, defence. The basics of the game, and not even worrying about the attack, because that comes further down the line. The basics and the hallmarks of a Steve Borthwick coach team, and how the fundamentals of how to win an international rugby match, we were pretty bad at the weekend. But, I'm an England fan. I'm positive about England. We're going to get to a semi at least.
And it's bloody exciting, Andrew.
Yeah, it is.
So these are pre-season games, if you can call them that, but they're test matches. But think about what's around the corner. Like, it's exciting, isn't it? Like, we're now getting into it. The momentum's gathering for the World Cup.
I was looking at the groups. Oh, it is. I was looking at the groups. I think about the podcast over the weekend. And when I saw Scotland getting absolutely hosed in that first
21-3.
I'm like, I've got some great lines for the pod this week. Don't worry about whether you're going to beat South Africa or Ireland. Just worry about beating Tonga to qualify for the next World Cup. That's what I was going to say. And then egg on my face without Jim saying it. But I'm sat there now going, well, we've got obviously Argentina first and then Japan second. And you obviously hope to qualify. But imagine losing those two. Then you've got Samoa. How good does Samoa look as well? Mm. They're dusting boys. So, a lot of water to go under the bridge. Very exciting times for everyone. Obviously, the squad's been announced now. And Gats and Borthers have done it very differently, haven't they? Gats said he's using these games. He's going to name his squad at the last possible moment. Borthers has gone early. Ironically, they've both been in the job for the same amount of time as head coaches. Borthers has gone early because he wants to get everyone training. Get better week on week.
Just talking about that squad that he's named, Goody, Slade is the obvious one for me, just going straight off the bat.
Yeah.
Where did that come from? He's not in the squad.
Big surprise for me, big shock. And a lot of it is around, I think personally, I was trying to pick a squad last week and I did one for Rugby Pass and it's 33 people in the squad, right? And I'm looking at it going numbers-wise. You always have more forwards than backs for obvious reasons. And I'm like, I'm trying to think back to 2019 when we did it. And there's only 31 players. And it was even harder. So 33 players, I'm like, is he going to go 18-15 or is he going to go 19-14 forwards to backs? And then you look at flexibility of players and, what positions they can cover. And Slady, being really honest, hasn't been at his very, very best. He's not played badly, but he's not been at his very, very best.
Yeah, he got 15 minutes. Was it 15 minutes of the week?
Well, I don't think it was judged on that. I think it wasn't that performance. Or maybe Marchant, because of how good Marchant was, played himself onto the plane, and because he can cover wing as well, Marchant. And then you're looking at the makeup of the squad. Elliot Daly was injured during the Six Nations. He can cover centre, mainly 13, wing, fullback, goal kicker. And when you look at it, he's gone 19 forwards and 14 backs. Maybe the inclusion of Ollie Chesham has meant that he's, because Ollie Chesham's come back from a long-term injury, and he, I know Borth is a big fan of Ollie Chesham. It sounds mad talking about a second row when you're talking about Henry Slade, but maybe you've had to pick, because you picked Chesham, you picked Ribbons as well, because Chesham hasn't played yet, which means you've got 19 forwards and then 14 backs, which means when you look at players' abilities to play in other positions, you have to take Manu, you have to take Lawrence because of how good they have been for England when they've had the opportunity. And then you're thinking, well, I've got, I need enough back three players. Marchant can cover wing and centre. Daly can cover wing, centre, fullback. Slady, realistically, is just a centre, can cover 10, but he said he's going to take 3-10. So you look at it, is it a real surprise? Yes, because of his stature as a player, but when you're looking at how to pick a squad, and it's the headline one, Henry Slade not in, I can see why he's done it. Whether I agree with it or not, I don't know. But, you know, you're trying to fit 14 backs into a 33-man squad. You need to have flexibility of where you can play. And Elliot Daly brings his strengths more so than Henry Slade can play in different positions. So,
yeah, and then in the forwards, just think about the narrative around Billy Vunipola and how he wasn't in the squad. He was playing unbelievably well. Now he's injured. I don't know if he had a minor surgery. I think he did.
Yeah, he did in his knee.
And so his training is going to be limited, yet he's been picked ahead of Tom Willis, who didn't really get a shot. I think he's an out-and-out test starter down the road. And Alex Donbrandt, who Goody felt potentially was touch and go to make the squad, but they've gone...
Called it after the game, didn't they?
But you actually look at the team. You mentioned Ollie Chesham there, hasn't played, coming back from injury. Billy Vunipola as well.
Courtney
Laws, who can play across the back row. So clearly there's a mindset with Borthers and the coaching team that you can train as hard as you want in pre-season. They've got a way in which they want to play. Mm. But it's, it's been pretty ruthless and cutthroat and probably unapologetic about that. But the Billy Vunipola relationship with him and Steve that wasn't good or was fractured or whatever, again, based on rumours, but you think that Borthers has had the emotional intelligence and...
He needs the boy, doesn't he?
He needs him.
And Billy played well at the end of the season.
To pick him. And we know, having a Billy or a Manu, a real point of difference in any team like that when it comes to getting on the front foot is like gold dust.
And on that, and you talk about front foot, one that surprised me actually, and fair play to Borthers, you talk about who made the biggest impact on the Prem last year, or one of the biggest impacts in getting over the gain line and metres made, carries, all that stuff.
Ben Earl.
I think he's come from nowhere, really, over the last few weeks. And we were all saying last year, how's he not starting for England? How's he not starting for England? Look how good he is for Saracens. He's on the bench a couple of times in the Six Nations, then got bombed out. I'm surprised he's in. Not surprised on... I'd have had him in. I wrote my column that I'd have him in. But I'm surprised that Borthwick's picked him because Borthwick didn't seem to be a fan. But he's obviously trained the house down and... He is a tackle breaker, isn't he? Which, you know, obviously the way Borthers plays, a bit of one-out rugby, bit of gain line, bit of power. There's not much finesse to it at the minute. Hopefully that comes. But people that can get their nose through contact and get over that gain line, which is everything at international level, isn't it? Hopefully Ben Earl gets a shot as well. And again, his versatility around, he can play 6, 7 or 8.
And that's the thing. You look at it, right, from an England fan's perspective. If you piece together a team.
Peace.
Right, so you've got Genji Orr, Marla, you've got Jamie George, Jack Walker, or Theo. Dan told you, didn't I?
Yeah, I know. I'm surprised about Blamire. I'm surprised.
Maybe
Jack
playing
Walker.
Himself out the weekend.
Yeah, I thought he did.
Yeah, there was a number. I mean, there are a few. It's hard. I've been there. It's the impossible challenge. You've got Marrow in the second row. George Martin talked him up this year as well. See him as a second row. David Ribbons went off injured at the weekend. Yeah. But you've got Ollie Chesham who can play across the back row, second row. You've got Courtney Laws who can do exactly the same. Marrow can do exactly the same. And then you look at what they've got to choose from in the back row, whether or not you go with a Billy and a Ben Earl and a Jack Willis or a Ludlam who
Curry
did really well. And we're not even mentioning Tom. So actually look at the team. Then you look at the back line with the likes of Manu, Marchant, Ollie Lawrence, Freddie Stewart.
We're going to win it.
Henry Arundel, who is just weird. But so look what England have got to come back. So yes, they weren't great at the weekend, but you actually look at the nuts and the bolts. Like Anthony Watson is one of the best players when fit on the planet.
Yeah.
This is why
we're going to win it, Jim. You're backing us.
You're not.
Okay.
But you're going to do all right, I think.
One that, you know, I wanted to get in. I remember we went back to our bolters last season, didn't we? But a man who made his debut at the weekend, Tom Pearson, who was tearing up trees at the back end of last season, thought he played all right at the weekend, put himself about a bit, but then he got absolutely boomed by Jack Morgan and
he got smoked.
Wainwright.
Yeah, he did.
I mean, do you reckon that got him off the plane?
I don't think
that's
so.
Horrible actually, to say that. I love Tom Pearson.
I love Tom Pearson as well. Yeah. I think he would, looking now at the makeup of the back row, he would have been touch and go.
Yeah.
But who would you take out of that squad to put Tom Pearson? He's going to have his time, right? He's going to come good. But Lewis Ludlam, I thought, did really well. It's proven Borthers really likes him. So was it between him?
Benell, maybe?
And maybe, I don't know. Like Benell, I mean, it's based on before. So I don't know. You know,
data, and I collect all the information around training, and that's just one more bit of information from the weekend.
But if Pearson would have ran over Jack Morgan, I don't think that makes a difference. No one's running over the great Jack Morgan, our Jack Morgan, but he'll be back as well. But just think of the players that have missed out for England with him and Willis, just to name two.
Yeah, and the other thing on it, this 33-man squad will not be the 33-man squad that finishes the World Cup. I don't think.
Well, look at Scotland.
Yeah. We're playing three more warm-up games. There's bound to be a injury in there somewhere. You know, you're playing Samoa in your group at some point. Someone might get too elangied. But not because there's not too Lange in the Samoa. But you know what I mean. Players like Tom Pearson, devastated for him. I still think Zach Mercer should be in there. I was hoping. I tweeted yesterday. Go on, Borthers, just do the right thing. Lackluster at the weekend. Do the right thing and give Zach Mercer a call. Get him in there. Excitement. But no. So there's going to be changes, and there'll be players that will, you know, hopefully Tom Pearson now gets to have a week off, go away to Ibiza. Have fun, get loose. You've trained hard, you've made your first international appearance, got your first cap, but I've got a feeling that there'll be two or three of them that'll end up in the squad eventually.
This episode is brought to you by Hotels.com. I was traveling internationally last year. I was in Mallorca. I didn't know the island well. I said, let me head to the north, head towards the water. Let me go on Hotels.com and see what they have available. Something preferably on the beach, maybe even a gym. Not only did I get those things, there was a kids' session with exercise, gymnastics in the water, pony rides, a train. It had everything, and I didn't even want any of those things. But at least I knew they were there, just in case I changed my mind. And now finding the perfect hotel has never been easier, thanks to the Hotels.com app. Whether you're looking for a family-friendly, right, all-inclusive, or a relaxing spa weekend, you can find exactly what you need and compare hotel prices, ratings, and amenities side by side. So start planning your next getaway and find your perfect somewhere in the Hotels.com app.
This episode is brought to you by Jiffy Lube. Cars can be a big investment, so it's important to take care of them. I once got a car that I started out with 25,000 miles on. I got it to over 200,000 miles because I took care of it. You know how you take care of a car? You take care of the maintenance, the oil, the brakes, all that stuff. And if you don't, you can have a car just completely fall apart. When your car needs maintenance, head to Jiffy Lube. They provide automotive excellence at speed. Get your oil changed, brakes checked, tons of other multi-care services. It's all done by expertly trained technicians who actually care about taking care of you and your car. Jiffy Lube, car more. To find coupons and start an instant online estimate, visit JiffyLube.com. This episode is brought to you by Anytime Fitness. We're not all professional athletes, but we all have health goals. That's why Anytime Fitness gives you access to personalized plans and support from a coach. Plus, you can track your training, nutrition, and recovery progress with the Anytime Fitness app, just like the pros. With 24/7 access to more than 5,000 gyms worldwide, get more from your gym membership. Visit anytimefitness.com to try it for free today. Terms, conditions, restrictions all apply. See website for details.
Well, we can go inside the England camp now. We're joined by Test front row Will Stewart. How are you, mate?
Yeah, all good. Thanks. Yourself?
We're good, mate. We're good. Good to see you again. I remember you from the glory days of the Wasps Academy. We won't go into those stories, but mate, great beard game, great hair game. First and foremost, congrats on being selected into the squad. I know you've come back from that horrific elbow injury. How hard has it been to get to this point now and obviously get back to fitness and get in the squad and training and all that stuff over the last few weeks?
I've had a bit of a mixed year with injury. Just had a knee like PCL at the beginning of the year, and then elbow in the autumn. So haven't really strung too much rugby together this year. So kind of getting back fit towards the end of the year, playing some games, and then coming to the wider squad and pushing here has been tough, but it's been good.
Mate, it's class to hear that you're fit and raring to go. How's it been as a player in the squad? I say that me and Goody have been in and around squads before during the World Cup, picked, then not picked. Quite stressful. Like, how's it been for you personally?
To be honest, for me, it was. I didn't really think about. I was thinking about any of that. Just obviously, I was trying to get back in. It was my first time with this set of coaches. I had like a week in camp in the Six Nations when I was back fit. So I was just kind of, as pre-season is, you know, you're kind of trying to get through a day at a time, really, just like struggling through watt bikes rather than thinking about the next the next weeks ahead.
Did I not teach you to hide during pre-season?
Yeah, I've tried to deploy some tactics to get out of a couple of off-feet sessions, but unfortunately I think Ali's got my number.
He has. But that's the thing though, look, Steve's said actually he's been very clear with the players about where you all stand in selection, all this stuff. I mean, obviously, an announcement's made today. You're all properly told yesterday. But Joe Hayes leaving the squad relatively early on, a few weeks back. Did you have security knowing that, you know, of the nine front rowers that have been picked, there's three tighters in the squad for the last few weeks, right? And there's three loose heads, that you kind of felt that you were going to be in it, but you still need to work as hard as possible to secure it?
Well, obviously, I know that there's, 33 in this squad, so it's a couple more than the... than 2019, but obviously they took two tight heads to the last World Cup, so I never wanted to sit and just like expect anything to happen or think. And for me as well, obviously it's a massive honour getting picked, but I don't want to just be in the squad. I want to push on and play and start and be involved in big games. So yeah, it wasn't about I didn't think about that at all, to be honest.
Mm. And how's training been? Everyone talks about pre-season, that it's absolutely crazy. I know it's a lot more kind of scientific now, but you're hearing, who's getting waterboarded again? The Welsh lads.
Yeah.
Obviously, I mean, it worked. They looked in great shape at the weekend. But how's it been? What bike's your friend? What bike has saved Goody's life? But give us an idea of what training's like. Is it enjoyable? Is it games related? Is it just getting absolutely fucking beasted every day?
It's been tough, but it's been very like specific. Forwards, you'll run through the mill a little bit more.
Good.
I think a few of us were the first few weeks were get like just looking at the back schedule, shaking our heads, but we've kind of just come to terms with that reality now, so it's fine.
Difference between donkeys and skillful players, mate. That's not what it is.
No, someone did put it that way to me about 6 months ago, saying you're paid to work hard, they're paid to be talented. I was like, oh, yeah, well, that makes sense. Fair enough. No, it's been tough. The preseason is always tough, but this is my first experience of a World Cup pre-season, and it's everything it's made out to be.
Now, we know that front rowers don't really leave each other's sides very often in teams that we've been involved. You all hang out together. How fucking grumpy's Coley been over pre-season? Like, he's a proper grumpy old mate. He's a great bloke.
And we say that as well. You've got to think 4 or 5 years ago, I said that Coley was past it and now he's going to the World Cup. So he's not happy with me, even though I grew up with him at Leicester. How has he been?
Yeah, he's been class. Yeah, the first time I met him properly was, yeah, I had a week with him in the Six Nations. But no, he's very dry. He's a funny man.
Yeah, and how is all that then? Like, the environment is, I imagine both was like at Leicester, you hear that stuff with there. There are different characters. You mentioned kind of Joe Marler, some of the young lads coming in. You've got guys that are a lot more serious, like Faz. How is it all like in terms of them dynamics? Are you allowed to have a decent old crack?
Yeah, it's been good. We had a bit of a blowout at the end of Verona, at the end of a tough week. That was good fun. That was I don't really remember how that ended, to be honest. But it was
yes,
a good
thing. Not a boy,
Verona. They say
not a boy.
But no, the dynamic's good. There's obviously like groups of lads who know each other better. But it's the most amount of time you spend. I think this will be week nine. Week nine for me now. This would be kind of the end of a Six Nations campaign, which would be the longest stretch. So. You kind of, it's a lot of forced bonding. You have to kind of get on with the people and get close to everyone. But you, working hard, I think, does that.
we've seen a bit of the O2 Inside Line series. Some of the guys are quite good characters. There's a lot of cricket going on. I've seen you put your hand to a bit of cricket as well. Who are the jokers in the group that are leading the charge on the social front? Who are the best cricketers? Elliot Daly's got to be up there, although he got embarrassed the other day, didn't he?
Yeah, no, he is good. To be honest, I haven't seen many, other than we had pretty much a T20 game against each other at the beginning of the pre-season. I haven't seen many of the backs play because we're just kind of, timings are different. So forwards-wise, Jamie George is pretty good. He's pretty handy, yeah. To be fair. Yeah.
Loves it.
I'm trying to think who's the worst. I mean, I'd probably put myself quite high up on that list.
Good honesty.
Very back foot with a bat and terrible with the ball. So,
mate, Marrow was never that good at cricket when we played. Like, I bowled him out a few times. And
what?
I know. And I bowled underarm as well. But I couldn't even go back overarm. Also, a question I think the younger demographic will like, and it's a question that's well asked, about how much you eat. But look, this is a topical thing because Goody's lost 2 stone away. I'm trying to put on a bit of mass.
2.5 stone, James.
Sorry, 2.5 stone. I do beg your pardon. But just like we're in your position, right, where you've got to be big, powerful, but you've got a tournament that's going to be so intense. Nutrition's key. Like, do you know how much you're eating, or are you just eating whatever's put in front of you, or not allowed to eat, as it were?
I was. I had in off season. I was given in no uncertain terms basically sent meals. So I was on lettuce. And carrots for 5 weeks. I think they were worried I was going to turn up in some heinous shape. But I have to eat quite a bit, especially like in here. The amount of training, like, you have to, yeah, keep on top of it. I actually, like, I used to like not find it difficult at all to like keep weight on or put weight on. But like when you're flogging yourself, it's especially when you're eating like with the nutritionists here, eating pretty clean, you eat a lot of it.
Do they say what numbers or not? Do they give you kind of like calorie count or not? Is it literally just eating and eating?
It's not so much calorie count. It'd be more done on my weight fluctuation. I just need to, like, if I've gone up a bit from where they want, then obviously tailor down. But if not, keep eating as much as possible.
Yeah, I'm on 1,500 calories a day, James.
1,500?
Yeah. 1,500, yeah. I'm fucking starving.
I know. Of jelly babies.
So that's a large Domino's, isn't it?
It is a large Domino's, yeah. Yeah, and that's all I eat for the day.
I love how the bigger lads know, like, as in what calories are
exactly
in which.
You've had a few speakers come in, haven't you, over the last few months, talking to the lads. Some interesting stories, some little snippets to pick up on.
Yeah, it's been, obviously, we had Southgate and Vincent Kompany come in. They were like, they were very different with how they because they both, well, Southgate did more of a Q&A and more of an informal kind of chat. But Kompany's was just from like an outside perspective, because he presented basically a team meeting that he presented to his lads after a preseason game. So it was just cool getting inside, like, well, as kind of a football fan, like seeing stuff they go through in meetings and seeing what they're like, seeing the crossover. Obviously, like the tactical stuff's like completely different, but that was cool.
Did Southgate have his waistcoat on or not?
He had a nice little long sleeve polo number on, I think.
Oh, smart.
Yeah, he does. Yeah.
That's where Borthwick got it from at the weekend.
I thought Borthwick looked sharp.
He did look sharp at the weekend.
I'm mad about wearing black stuff.
What's been said about the weekend then? Obviously, I know it's the squad announcement today and all that stuff, but it was obviously a disappointing result in the end. Much to worry about or panic about, or is it a process that we're going through?
Obviously, well, we came back in. We're talking now for the squad announcements. We're back in, sort of back to the Lensbury for a full training day, and we've got our meetings and stuff to debrief and go through everything properly. We haven't really gone through it massively yet, but I think we'll get stuck into that later on this afternoon. But yeah, it was disappointing.
And how did it feel out there? Always tough against Wales. And again, look, speaking frankly, mate, it is a warm-up game. Like, I know they are test matches and the momentum needs to gather. But collectively as a group, how did it feel?
Yeah, it was pretty deflating. I think obviously our whole thing was, obviously there was a few lads who, it was a big chance, start test games. And it was our first chance in this kind of the World Cup period to start for England. And it was kind of our chance as said the first lads to go out and put the shirt on. So everyone was, it was disappointing. I think obviously there was selection looming as well. It was, not the best hotel environment afterwards. Everyone was straight to bed, kind of trying to not think about it. But yeah, it was disappointing.
messages to England fans, because obviously the excitement's going to start to build now. Hopefully we get a victory this weekend. Everyone's looking at England saying the group selection and the draw has been relatively kind. I know that's not something that you'll be thinking about, but the crescendo is going to build, isn't it? You know, to a crescendo for England fans heading over there. Any messages for the England fans?
I was just like, kind of reflecting on it today, just like that. My like biggest memories, like as a kid, were watching Rugby World Cups, and like how much I'd get excited for them coming up, and how much I'd like just always would look forward to that coming on every 4 years. So if we can bring as much of this excitement as that for like us as players, and deliver better performance than on the weekend and get everyone behind it, and yeah, have the same effect on young lads like I was at the time, that's our main job, really, is win a World Cup and like inspire people and get the country behind it. And you see with football how much, yeah, you've seen over the last few years how much people have been behind them as they started to get more and more successful, and that's something that would be massive for us.
That a boy, we're gonna win it. Awesome. We're gonna win it. We are gonna win it.
And my advice is not that you're asking for it or you want it, but enjoy it, mate. Like France, a wicked country. And again, one of my biggest regrets was not enjoying it. I just took it so fucking seriously. You might not have thought I took it seriously, but but enjoy it, mate. It's the time of your life. I know it feels stressful. I feel like I'm giving you advice here or not, but you're on a class opportunity. I think you lads are going to go really well.
Yeah.
We went through the squad earlier, who you've got to pick from and play with and choose from. It's going to be class, mate.
Congrats, mate.
Oh, awesome. Cheers.
To
thanks
see you in the squad.
That's what I meant. I meant congrats. That's what I meant. Cheers, Will.
Thanks,
cheers,
Will.
Thank you.
Top lad. Yeah.
Spoke very well.
He is.
Mate, it's a hard interview, that, though, isn't it? The squad's just been picked.
He's buzzing. So he was an academy kid at WASP when I was there. Good youngster coming through, and I've watched his progress. I'm so chuffed for him. Because obviously there's Joe Hayes that could have gone there as well another tight head. Obviously Coley's in the mix, Sinclair. That's massive, you know. And to see a lad that's come through Wasser, obviously he's gone down to Bath, and Bath have added to him. But to come back from the injuries, that elbow, do you remember his elbow? Dislocated elbow. How are you? Not great. And when you're a scrummager, you think about rehabbing that when you've got to have the grips that you've got to have for scrummager. I'm so pleased for him. Such a lovely kid. Hell of a hairdo on him as well. He's going to go well.
Yes, good to have him.
You were at Edinburgh in the weekend, weren't you?
I was, as a casual fan, hosting the Scottish Business Club.
The Scottish Business Club. It needs a better name than that. The Jim Hamilton.
Well, it was
Scottish
the Cameron House, but they've changed it. I don't know.
Call
why.
It the Jim Hamilton Scottish
Maybe.
Club.
Maybe that's what we can do. Maybe
Jim Hamilton Scotland
do.
Club.
I'm going to be ballsy about what I do, and next time when we win the World Cup, and then I'm going to bring that in.
Half time. What 21-3
down. Right. I'm sitting
against
in the stand.
The kids.
I'm sitting in the stand, right? And I'm sat next to the great Kenny Logan. What a legend he is, by the way.
Top boy.
And Abdel Benazi.
Oh, my old teammate.
Yes, actually.
From the Saracens days.
Yeah, from Saracens.
Hello. He used to come and go, hello, Abdel, how are you?
Lovely bloke. So French legend, history in Rugby World Cup. So I'm sat there with them three, just three greats of the game, just watching it. So Scotland's team comes out. We fully loaded. Finn Russell is captain. The France team.
Hey, what a turnaround with that.
Well, that's
Gregor, fair play to him.
Yeah, Finn's had a kid, apparently serious now. Yeah. He only goes out and has 4 or 5 days. he doesn't do 45.
Still got his Louis Vuitton on.
Yes, Louis Vuitton. Who goes out in jogging bombs? Finn Russell.
And because he can.
Yeah, they don't look like our normal, like, jobby catchers, as they call them, the grey ones with piss stains and coffee stains and ravioli stains. Like, they're like these, I don't know, like silky.
Louis Vuitton.
Louis Vuitton, whatever they are, Louis Vuitton. But Scotland team, very good.
Yeah.
Fully loaded. Mm. Like, that's probably as close to the team as we're going to get from a test match point of view. France's team gets announced and it's mixed, all right, be it with names in that squad. Bruce Dolan,
Brice.
Right, we have Bruce Dolan at 15 for France. Yeah, Champions Cup winner as well, but there's some names that people would recognise. Mofana as well, who was very good. De Mortier,
yeah,
on the wing, Leon Winger that everyone's talking about. Jalibert, Cameron Wookie, who's just come back from long-term injury.
Yeah.
McAlou as well. So, good players.
Yeah.
Paul Willemsaw on the bench. Baptiste Serin as well on the bench. So
not many first choices there.
Okay, right. So not many first choices. So I'm looking at thinking, and this is what I say before the game, we should be confident enough to say that we're going to beat France today. Not, you ain't beating France comfortably, just ain't happening. Just how good they are at the minute. But from a Scotland perspective, to have the confidence to say, right, we've got France at home, we've got France away next week, then we've got Georgia, who we should beat. We put 50 points on them last time we played them at Murrayfield. But this is the one, because France are going to go fully loaded next week.
And this week is your best team. It's our best team.
So we're going to get the first look of it. They're going to rest players next week, I imagine, and go fully loaded against Georgia, or half loaded. WP now will literally be wrapped up in cotton wool. And then we've got South Africa. 21-3 at halftime, but the snapshot was where I was.
What are you thinking?
I genuinely don't think it reflected the game. Like, France had scored a couple of good tries out in the wider channels. But again,
the shape on Scotland was...
That was it.
Yeah.
So when we're talking about, like, aesthetically, how does a team look? Scotland looked fucking fit. They look fit. They look strong. Finn looked great at 10. Duane van der Merwe, Darcy Graham looked brilliant. Blair Kinghorn looked great. Sione Tuipulotu, huge. I've just named the whole back line. I should have just said the back line.
21-3 down, though.
But 21-3 down, you're thinking, oh, goodness me. But this is a different team.
This is Scotland!
This is Scotland! I shouted down, Scotland! And they all looked up and...
You got in there at half-time, didn't you?
Well, then Xander lost his head and got red-carded.
Was there an arousing speech from you at half-time? Well,
They looked up.
Did they?
Yeah, Finn looked up. Gave him the nod.
Yeah.
Yeah, gave him the nod. And he knew that we need to be fucking better. They've come out half-time and you're thinking, gosh, they look better when they came out anyway.
They had the Iron Brew at half-time.
Well, Xander's had three bottles of it, because then he had a clear out. I didn't mention Booger Eat as well. How good's he, by the way?
Yeah.
Did a clear out on Booger Eat and madness.
Yeah.
Why has Booger Eat not gone off for a HIA?
That's what I'm saying.
I know. Let's not get into that. And you're thinking, here we go. Batten down the hatches.
Second time he's done it as well. You think back to Scotland, Wales.
Yeah.
Will he miss some of the World Cup, do you think?
I think he'll miss the first game against South Africa. And this comes down to strength and depth, because a couple of things from the game. Ben White, poor lad.
Bad?
Yeah. I don't know if it's bad. Didn't look great. He stayed on. Mm. And again, not being a doctor, but I'm good at diagnosis from
Pisshead
up top.
Dave. No, sorry,
Pisshead
PhD, Dave, yeah. PhD,
I'll speak to PhD Dave and see what he thinks. It looks like it's his ankle. Syndesmosis. I don't know. By the way that he got hit, he got taken on a high shot.
I love the way. I don't know much about it, but syndesmosis.
It looked like a syndesmosis in his ankle. So
6 weeks?
We've had syndesmosis issues. So you talk about collateral damage. Mm. This is the hard thing, isn't it? Because now we've lost Xander and our Achilles heel. This is no disrespect to WP Nell or Javin Sebastian. This is me speaking frankly. It's at tight end. So we've got Xander Fagerson and WP now 63.
Yeah, and he looks good
when he came on. Yeah. But he literally, I'd have him on the watt bike. He, like, mate, you ain't going out onto a training pitch. Like, you ain't. The fact that we came back off the back.
Hell of a turnaround.
It was
right?
great. But
14 down to 14 men.
Down to 14 men, 21.
I'm thinking, here we go, 50 points. Can't wait to see Jim on Monday.
Mate, we're good. We are good now. Like, genuinely, we are.
Fitness.
We're a good team. And we looked fit.
Yeah.
We looked strong. Blair Kinghorn got man of the match. I mentioned Darcy Graham, Duane van der Merwe, Ewan Ashman at hooker.
Going back to Blair Kinghorn, we talked about this. I've always said he's an unbelievable fullback.
We've always said it.
Yeah. And then they tried to shoehorn him into fly half, because obviously Hoggy was playing there. He's now, one of Scotland's best attacking threats. And we talked about last week, Darcy Graham scores again. Like Poacher's try as well, gets outside his winger on the kick through from the crossfield kick from Finn, and by the finest of margins gets it. But world-class finisher. So Scotland, you know, just worry about Tonga, boys.
Adam Hastings missed out on the squad.
He did, yeah. I saw him before the game. I think Ben Healy, for me, and you talk about like two or three tens, like Ben Healy in that first game, he's got a point of difference, which is, and Goody mentioned it last week, is the size of boot that he's got. So you think Finn will start. You've got Blair Kinghorn, who can cover.
You need an out-and-out 10.
But you need an out-and-out 10 who's fit. Like, Adam's had a lot of injury problems over the last couple of years, but also his size of boot. So you think, I don't know, something happens in a tight game, you've got a penalty on halfway. Ben Healy has the ability to kick to the corner and put 5 metres out. Like, his boot is enormous.
Yeah.
So he's got like a super skill. I'm not saying that Adam hasn't. Adam's a lesser. This is no,
he's like Finn.
He's like Finn. He's like a lesser version of Finn. Like, still a very good player, but it just shows you the strength and depth that we got now.
But can you not take three? Because, you know, obviously England have gone down the route of Farrell, Ford and Smith.
Mm.
And he said, I'm going to take three. Right. So surely there's an argument for Hastings and Healy. And you look across all the games this weekend, obviously, you didn't see any of the frontline 10 starting. You know, Moanga was on the bench for New Zealand. You've got Finn started. But then last week was Scotland's first game and they started Ben Healy. Wales started Costello, Bigger's on the bench. Farrell was in the stands. And then, you know, Bigger was on the bench, came on. So they're all looking for these next players. You can name all the first choice 10s pretty much, can't you? Mm. But it's all about who's next. You know, Ireland, Sexton's obviously banned. So Crowley plays. People are talking about Byrne. I think you've got to take three.
But the thing is with that, Blair can play 10. Mm. So you've got three 10s.
I don't rate him.
Yeah, well, I know, but if someone gets injured, they could call Adam Hastings up.
But this is the thing. So he's your first choice fullback.
Yeah.
And you've got to think workload over a World Cup. If he's your first choice fullback, which he is now, you don't want him playing against 10 against Romania because you rest in Finn.
No, because, that's what I mean. Like, you would play a Ben Healy, for example, but then you've got other players in the squad that are really good, like Carl Steyn, who isn't going to start ahead of Darcy Graham or
Carl Steyn, but
he can cover centre as well. Yeah. And then you've got Cameron Redpath, who came on and got the turnover at the weekend.
I just want Hastings to go because I like him. He's a good player.
I do as well. Teeth. But this is what I mean. This is where in some positions now, we are really strong. But just in a snapshot of the game, France looked fucked in that second half. Like, they really did.
But in the first half, how good they look. They're young kids. And you can see they've won the under-20s for the last at least two tournaments.
Well, Kenny made a really good point. So when you're looking at that French team, what is on the horizon for them? Like, what is the carrot at the end of the donkey? It is a home World Cup.
Yeah.
A home World Cup where they're going in as first, second, third favourites. So regardless of what team they put out there, the desperation which they played with in that first half, the way that they were moving, the fizz that they were playing
with. The structure of their attack and Scotland's looked great.
Yes.
And I'm comparing it to what I saw down in Cardiff, which wasn't a lot.
Yeah.
And, you know, the French, they've got masses of talent. And so have Scotland. But, you know, you can just see the production line in France, home World Cup. You know, some of those players, and second half, they were fucked. And actually, the fitness coach, Thibaut, who was my old fitness coach at Saracens, who played in the NFL for a bit, I'm going to message him and go, "Your boys don't look fit enough." Tell Weenie Antonio that.
But there's something in that with some teams aiming to peak at different times of the World Cup, aren't they? Because someone like Scotland, you have to go in full noise right from game one.
Correct.
Yeah.
France, they do have New Zealand in their pool, but they're getting out of their pool. They're looking to peak later on.
They'll want to go.
I know what you mean.
I know what you mean, but they will go full noise this weekend against Scotland. Oosh.
In Saint Etienne. You're
sending the Shags?
Are we sending the Shags?
Yeah.
I imagine so.
Oh, jeez.
Poor lads. Here's your one shot. One shot to get into the squad. Show us what you got.
It's funny, isn't it? Like, Wales went quite heavy. England sent the Shags. And you'll see the flip this week. I reckon England will go full noise and Wales will send the Shags. Scotland went, that's their first choice team. France sent the Shags to Edinburgh and they did really well until they blew a gasket in the second half. And now Scotland Shags are going to go and take 50.
We're good now.
Yeah, we are.
But I think we could name our starting 15 apart from 7. It was a straight shootout from Rory Darge, Hamish Watson for me.
In the starting team.
In the starting team. Yeah, I think Rory Darge is that close. He was involved in that turnover at the end of the game as well, him and Cameron Redpath.
Yeah.
Goody, you mentioned before the 10s in each team and everyone's got their number one. Jack Crowley, you talked him up as potentially being the backup ahead of Ross Byrne for Sexton. How close is he?
It's really close. I think Ross Byrne still is ahead and I'll tell you where it'll boil down to is when Ireland play England. Not this weekend, the weekend after in Dublin. So I think Faz will go full noise for that. And that will be the decider to see who gets the shirt. And if it's Byrne, I think Ross Byrne's earned the right to be the backup at the minute. But Crowley, we talked about in last season on the podcast and how much he's come on. His control was good at times. But with Sexton, Farrell has to take, I think he has to take three fly halves. So I think they both go. And then it's a game of, there's not much difference in between them, but the fact that there's more Leinster players in the squad, Byrne's been there a bit longer, or a lot longer actually than Crowley has. But Crowley's putting his best foot forward. I think he'll be in the final squad. So actually, for Ireland, guess where they are this week?
Another holiday?
Yeah, they're going back to Portugal.
So interesting.
Yeah.
Because I follow a few of them on social media, how relaxed their build-up is compared to an England.
Well, it'll ramp up in 2 weeks' time.
I know, but...
Because we're coming to town!
But you just see, it's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, Mac Hansen's putting his best life out there. There seems to be...
Sexton's on the beach last week.
I know. Yeah. A little bit less stress, it seems, it feels, from Ireland.
Yeah. And, it, you know, I think that comes from, we spoke about last week, an environment that's comfortable, hardworking, best team in the world you've got there, an enjoyable environment that they want to go to and be part of.
You've got
to
enjoy it.
And that's how, what Faz, Big Faz, Andy Faz, my mate, my holiday mate, I've got so many holiday friends now.
You are, you're just loads of mates.
Yeah, loads of mates.
Got no
that's
friend.
That's what he's created. When the Ireland squad does come out eventually, I don't think you're going to see too many surprises. I tell you, he's got the toughest job, and we're seeing... squad come out now. The All Blacks put their squad out. No real surprises there, were there?
None at all.
England's the headliners around Slade. Who's got the toughest job? Is Nien Aber and Rassie Mabru. Because how good is the depth in South Africa? So when you're picking a squad of 33, that's a tough gig. But I think Faz has created this amazing culture within Irish rugby and a group that are all moving together nicely. And yes, they're going to be heavily reliant on Johnny Sexton when his ban ends and when he's fit. But those boys are on the piss in Portugal this week. I'm just gutted I'm going back to Portugal, but not this week. Otherwise, I'll be with the lads of Ireland.
Goody, you've been all over Eddie Jones, but he turned things around on the weekend, albeit against the Shags.
Oh, the arrogant Kiwi. Right, the arrogant Kiwi. Mate, come on the journey with us, mate. We're on it, Eddie. And it was a lot better.
It was weird, actually.
Don't talk to me if you don't know anything, but don't ask me those questions. You don't know anything about rugby, mate.
Well, he's got a point. They've got a thing. They've got into him now. Like, they've got under his skin, haven't they?
Yeah.
Like, as in, he's biting now big time. So the game, it was light when the game was on. So I couldn't work out, because normally I'm used to seeing the Bledisloe at night in New Zealand.
What was going on there?
Because afternoon game.
Yeah, it doesn't happen in NZ.
Not really.
No. I looked at the time. I'm like, what time's the game on?
It said 12.
Set me alarm. 3:30.
Yeah.
3:30 in the morning.
I don't love rugby enough to get up at 3:30.
Nor did I. I watched it in the morning. But
I'll tell you now, mate, Australia are going to be all right. They're going to be all right.
Carter Gordon looking good at 10.
Think about the pressure that Carter Gordon would have been under. Eddie Jones sticking up for him, backed him again.
Never had a coach do that to me. That is the biggest thing. Like, genuinely.
But he said 10s need to play.
Like, yeah.
He said that is they need to be exposed. That's what he said in his interview.
Yeah. And it's amazing for Eddie to do that to a 10. And back him.
He does that to his players, Andrew.
He does.
He gives back his players.
Oh, Eddie, I'd have played for you. But yeah, and he performed really well, I thought. And they were, like the All Blacks, I know it was the Shags, McKenzie at 10, and everyone goes, oh, how good's McKenzie? Mwanga, the boy, and then Barrett. But it was the Shags for New Zealand.
Our four-pack was pretty much a first strength. It wasn't far off it. Still had like...
Takiaho can't throw in, we know that. What a name, Samisoni Takiaho.
Mate, Andy Rowe was talking him up a storm.
Yeah.
That forward performance from the Wallabies, that I haven't seen anything like that for years.
Yeah.
And they still lost.
Well,
and they still lost, yeah. But this is what I mean. Like, I don't want to belittle the championship. I know we're on the summer series, they're calling it, they are test matches. The championship is always unbelievable. I tweeted it after. Like, Australia are coming. I'm telling you now.
They are. They've got to fly from Australia over to France. They're coming over.
Eddie, I'm coming with you, mate.
They've got quality players.
And they've got history at the World Cup as well.
The improvement on their performance from the last few weeks, they were shocking in South Africa, shocking against Argentina at home, shocking last... No, they defended all right last week and then went to pieces. This week, that was a proper performance.
And this is where...
Brad Davis, I'm saying. It's not Eddie, it was Brad Davis, my mate.
Like, as in...
And Neil Hatley.
Yeah, New Zealand, South Africa can get to that level. Like, they just turn it on.
Yeah.
They can turn that tap on straight away at that high level intensity. Scotland can't, right? Mentioned them against Italy last week, and they did against France this week in terms of the physicality and the energy. Australia seemed to be a team that they need to tick through, and then bang, then they're on.
Yeah.
And that is why having the Rugby Championship for these teams leading into the World Cup is a worry for the Northern Hemisphere teams.
They look so much, like the game looks so much quicker, didn't it? And like, more powerful. But Australia's issue, tight head prop.
Mm.
We said it before about scrums, and you know, we talked about previous World Cups where South Africans have monstered scrums to end up winning it. They've lost their first choice to tight head props.
But look at the pool.
Yeah.
Scrummaging isn't going to be an issue.
No, get through. Georgia.
Excuse me. How dare you? How fucking dare you?
But that's the thing. And you know what? They were really good at the weekend. They played that first, and I had to stop myself tweeting it because it's positive about Eddie, but I'm joking. That first half an hour, they were shit hot. Like, winning collisions, accuracy. The All Blacks fell off a lot of tackles, but that's what happens when you play the Shags. And they were really good. Away from home, you know, it was a real reaction. But obviously, the fitness of the All Blacks came through. They bring some boys off the bench.
What do you know about South Africa's goal kicking at the moment? Have they got an issue?
Yeah. Yeah, they have.
Yes and no.
They've never had an issue.
Wow. Well, especially
go back to the 2019 World Cup. Everyone was saying the same about Andre Pollard pre-World Cup. And he had the jitters at times. Step up, big plums.
That's what they do, don't they, South Africans? When it really matters, they just find a way.
And Lebok, first half, he missed a few. He wasn't playing well. And it's real chalk and cheese how everyone expects a South African team to play. And they will play that way, the South African way. And then you've got Lebok at 10. And the Stormers, John Dobson, friend of the show, how they play. And you've got a 10 that plays that way for the Stormers. But maybe the South African way is a bit different. Second half, they look sharp. You know, Ma Pimpy, he scores.
They are coming. They're big players. Yeah.
They also coming to the World Cup. They're coming.
They're there. They're world champions.
They're already qualified.
They are there, and they are front runners in what's a tough group. But I think Scotland beat them game one. So who knows?
Dreaming. But it's a tough job for Nienaber and Razi Mayabru. I love Razi to pick that squad because there's so much talent there. You know, Dupreer plays really well at the weekend, and. Will he make the squad?
This is what I mean. If you were to name the South Africa team with the quality of players that they've got, it's frightening.
Yeah.
Like, it really is. And the ones that are coming back, like you mentioned, Mazola Mapimpi, not really done a huge amount. And this was talking about because he was that good.
Didn't need to.
Like, it's a World Cup cycle.
Chesley Colby's back.
Lukanyam as well. The old offload out the back door.
Yeah.
Like, these players are coming good.
They winning it.
I ain't talking about that now. Okay. I just want to build the story. I'm just trying to enjoy my rugby at the minute.
But we go back to the fly half debate. Andre Pollard's going to be their World Cup fly half if he's fit as the first choice in the big games. Myles Lebok off the bench, I think he's a superstar. But when you play the way he plays, there are going to be errors and people go, the goal kicking. But he's a hell of a goal kicker as well. And he's a brilliant option for them to have off the bench, I think, at 10.
Right, should we finish things off then with the good, the bad and the ugly?
Yes, let's. We're going to start off with a couple of centurions. Augustin Crivi was the first Argentinian to reach 100 caps. Yes, they lost at the weekend, but hell of an achievement.
How crazy is that, that no Argentinian players reached 100?
Well, then you think about it, until the Rugby Championship, they don't play that many games
history. Yes.
Yeah, they played the World Cup, some friendlies, but they didn't ever play that many games. And you look at how many games are played in the Northern Hemisphere and obviously New Zealand and Australia. Historically, South Africa played a lot. But the Argentinians, they're new to the competition in real terms. So, yeah, massive shout out to Augustin Crivi. Lee Halfpenny as well, 100 caps for Wales. Hell of a career, still going. He was pretty emotional in the interview we did afterwards on Prime Sport with his kid. I think he was trying to keep his kids quiet, which is always difficult.
It's always emotional. That,
yeah. You want to take your kids, but then you're like, oh, please. So, yeah, massive shout out to Lee Halfpenny. He's been a absolute legend for Wales over the years. 100th cap. Absolutely outstanding. Caelan Doris, me old Doris. 12 carries, 11 tackles, 2 breakdown steals and 2 tries in Ireland's win over Italy. So big shout out to Caelan, me old Doris. Friend of the show. His agent's a great boy as well, isn't he?
He says he's his agent. He just knows loose.
Yeah, he's just loose. So shout out to Caelan, me old Doris. But the good this week goes to a man and a country that Jim has bagged. You haven't bagged the man, but you bagged the country. And it's going to go to Jack Morgan and Wales. His first appearance as skipper of Wales, and myself and Sam Warburton and Jim Hamilton, we've chewed the fat. And I used to chew more fat than others, before you say it, Jim, about Jack Morgan. He is a test match animal, the real deal. Wales' captain. Just give him the skipper armband for the whole World Cup now. 25 tackles, 10 carries, 6 defenders beaten, a try assist, an absolute boomer on Tom Pearson. He was captain fantastic. So Jack Morgan, Warren Gatland and Wales, you get the good this week because Jim said you were so bad and fucked. You proved him wrong. The bad, few bits of bad. We're going to start off with Japan. They were so good at the 2019 World Cup. in their own backyard and their own World Cup. But they've gone downhill. They lost 35-12 to Fiji at the weekend. Look, a shadow of their former selves that did really well in 2019. But losing at home in Tokyo to Fiji. Fiji look good, actually. We'll give them a shout and they're good. They're going to dust up the Aussies and Wales. But Japan, this is about the bad. Not good for them. Thank God they're looking bad, because that's our second game in the World Cup. And if we lose to Argentina in the first game, hopefully we won't, that'll be a knockout game itself. So Japan get a shout out in the bad. Tommaso Menoncello, Marco Riccioni, Ben White, Jack Conan, Jimmy O'Brien, Craig Kelsey and more. They're all going to get the bad this week for unfortunate injuries. Lots of injuries over the weekend. We wish them all well, but the bad news is around terrible time to get injured just for a World Cup. So thoughts with them all, but that's the bad news for this weekend around injuries in the build-up to the World Cup. But the bad this week can only go to one place. I was in Cardiff. It's got to go to England's performance. I'm sorry. I'm English. Borthas and his tactics weren't great. The performance, the handling errors.
I'm more English than you these days.
No, I'm just being honest, mate.
Okay.
And then the ugly, two bits of ugly. Lapis Labashane got sent off for going high on Vilimoni Botitu in Japan's loss to Fiji. But the ugly this week goes, unfortunately, to a Scot.
It's not unfortunate. You don't say unfortunately.
Well, it's unfortunate.
It's unfortunate for him.
For Scotland, it's unfortunate because he's going to get banned. He's probably going to get 6 weeks. No mitigation because he's had it before. He might get a 6 week ban, boys. Xander Fagerson. He did a similar thing against Wales a couple of years ago, got sent off, shoulder to the head of Boogereat. Why didn't Boogereat, whatever you call him, Sam Besti, Boogereat, he eats his boogers, do you get it?
I get it, yeah, because Boogereat's
not. Why didn't he get off for a HIA? You talk about all this stuff around concussion sport. Players are going to keep grabbing their heads and faces if they get banged there in a ruck. But Xander Fagerson, you get the ugly this week for your charging into a ruck recklessly and upright and causing significant power to the face and head of Pierre Boogereat.
Thanks, Goody. And you guys have got some shout-outs to finish off with, don't you?
Yeah, a big shout-out to Chris Jubb and all the pupils at Wallace High School in Stirling, Scotland. Chris is a PE teacher and rugby coach to seven teams, and he is completing a solo attempt at 24 workouts in 24 hours to raise money for the school so they can buy kit and equipment to play rugby. If you want to help him out, just head to justgiving.com and search for Chris Jubb. 24 workouts in 24 hours. Wow.
If it's press-ups, good luck. On your knees. I've got another shout-out as well, and it's for a good mate of mine, Dan Murphy, former Gloucester skin. But in 6 weeks' time, there's a group of older, overweight individuals. This is what Murph sent me, so I'm just reading it word for word. They'll be riding 400 miles from Ipswich to Melrose to raise funds for much needed awareness around motor neurons disease. The All Four M&D group have been working for over a year now, organising and promoting the challenge. And now they've got the tough bit left, which is the ride. 400 miles, I know, did 350 miles in 3 days. Not easy. Their target is to raise £400,000 in support of the Doddy Weir Foundation and For Ed campaign. So naturally, we're giving it a shout out and we're giving it a big push. You go to all4mnd.co.uk and you can find out how you can help Dan and the team out to raise some money to find a cure, raise awareness for this awful disease, which is MND.
Yeah, massive shout out to Dan and the lads. And finally, a massive shout out from Will Mitchell to his best mate of 20 years and the best man at his upcoming wedding, Tom. Between two cancellations of their big day due to COVID, stag do's over Zoom. Who has a stag do over Zoom, lads? Just get to the Benidorm. And travelling over to the UK from Shanghai. Get to Shanghai for a stag do. We'll come, won't we, Jim?
No, not I. Am. Get your arms cut off.
He's been a class best man. Have his arms cut off. Throughout, so a big hand to Tom, and no one wants to go to the wedding. Just get a better stag do, boys.
Yeah, absolutely.
I wish my stag do was on Zoom.
Oh gosh,
your stag do.
Yeah, awful. I do as well.
Like, weird Kiwis.
You had a seizure.
Thanks, Goody. Thanks, Jim. Thanks, producer Rob, and thank you very much for listening. Don't forget to check us out on YouTube and make sure that you've subscribed on Spotify.
Rugby Spot.
Spotted Pod 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 Pod.
This episode is brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. As a ruthless king builds his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.